This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. A very special episode of High and Mighty as movie month March continues. Not sure if that's going to be the order of those M words, but that will be changing. It's me, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2", 305 pounds. I just got back from Vegas. It's John Gabris. All you got to do is trust me. Jackson, Maine. It's movie month. I should have had you replaced by now. Abortion is healthcare. That's why I keep you around. Also joining my in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is deaf enough that he's 4 feet away and not hearing me at all. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, returning guests. You know them. You love them, but they hate movies. It's We Hate Movies. We got Eric, Chris, Steve, and Andrew. What up?
What up? Thanks for having us.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
You just came back from Vegas?
Yeah, I landed late last night. I stopped at Taco Bell without a drive-thru on the way home, which is just like an intense choice to be like, I'm going to get out and grab that.
Did you
grab
sit down?
Crispinadas. I sat down. I brought it home with me. I had to eat it in the dark of my home. I couldn't eat this what I was going to do in public.
As you should. Yeah. It's like Ortolan Bunting. It's like the Ortolan Bunting things. You have to put a little blanket over your head and just hide your shame for God.
Gabris, what time of night are you eating this Taco Bell, by the way?
This would be, I picked it up at like 10:05. I probably got to eat it at 10:20 after I walked the dog.
I literally just came back from Vegas as well. I was there over the weekend for my brother's bachelor party. Yeah, I know.
We could have fucking met up. We could have went to the movies together.
That would have been so good.
That's amazing. You guys were in Vegas at the same time.
I know. That's the problem. I find it very difficult. At least in these resorts, like eating complete shit at 4 o'clock in the morning isn't easy to do, which is kind of my move, especially if you're out that late.
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad you got it in before 11 p.m., Gabris, because after that, if I'm eating Taco Bell, I'm shitting blood the next morning.
Like,
the indigestion.
Yeah. No,
we're getting old, man. You can't be doing that.
Your rectum's like the Shining elevator, huh?
If you eat it after 11, you just got to stay up a little later. That's all. You got to get it. Punt the next day. Punt the start time of next day.
Smart time budgeting. That's what it's about.
Right. You're right.
Lose sleep. Eat Taco Bell. You'll be better off in life. Trust me. I hadn't tried the new menu items yet. So I hit the empanada and the stacker. And
about the empanada thing? I saw that. I was like, I had Taco Bell quickly for lunch today. Good for me.
Wow.
But I did not do the empanada.
It's all right.
I didn't even know you could eat Taco Bell during the day. Like, is that
possible? It's open for most of the day.
Sundown food, man.
I was in the middle of two doctor's appointments, so I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go Taco Bell. Two separate in between. Doctor's appointments.
Steve, this is why they're not giving us universal health care.
this fat guy's just going to blow it on Taco Bell anyway.
Yeah, just to get the new chicken taquitos from Taco Bell.
But so it's like, I'm not feeling great, so I'm just going to, fuck it, let's eat some Taco Bell. And I did, and I'm reading my book or whatever, and as I'm leaving, I'm getting kind of edged out by, like, it was as if I was at a nightclub. It was a woman with a happy birthday hat and, like, another woman with, like, there was a party going on, like, happy birthday, bitch, it's your birthday. Like,
on a Tuesday afternoon? Bell,
and I was, like, kind of getting edged out by this birthday party at an afternoon Taco Bell. It's never
happened. Wait a second, Steve, I thought you came back from Vegas. What are you talking about?
This is in New York, exactly. This was it was Becca's birthday, and it was time to celebrate Taco Bell style.
Uh-huh. We're going to fucking Taco Bell, you dumpy cunts. Get in the car.
Eat that gordita, bitch. I want to see you shit at 4:30 p.m.
Oh, man. In between doctor's appointments, hitting Taco Bell is just like, you know, that's where the doctor looks out the window and goes, son of a bitch.
Why do I do this? Why do I even bother?
You know, I could smell it on you.
I mean, you smoke cigarettes? No, sir. How frequently are you having crispinadas per week?
5 packs a day.
That other new item, the stacker thing, that's a scam. That's just a folded over quesadilla. You can't tell me otherwise.
Oh, really?
I know.
Oh.
But this is the thing. Taco crispinada is an actual texture change for Taco Bell. All their other stuff is just folded a different way and put in a different order. And I'm here for the innovation. The stacker ends up being like a quesadilla slice of pizza. Like it comes in like the triangle. You fold it again and you're like, actually, this goes down pretty smooth. And you're like, oh, I'm just eating a different thing faster. Oh, I love a Big Mac. Have you ever taken 3 Big Macs and mushed them all together and eaten it that way? That's even faster way to have Big Macs.
Sounds great. Let's go to the doctor.
So what's better? Me doing this in public, socially mixing up with birthday parties, or eating in the dark over your sink like John Gabris at 12 o'clock at night.
In the dark, over the sink. That's what it's for. That's why they invented the chain for shame eating when the sun is down.
Hopefully no moonlight. No light on you, period, really, is how you want it. Has anybody gone to a Dunkin' Donuts lately and seen that?
Yeah.
You saw all the press from Panera having the heart attack lemonade.
Yep.
So, and they're like, we have to have a piece of that. So now they have energy. They have an energy lemonade drink.
No.
What was the thought process there? We need more heart attacks. We like all this press they're getting. We need more heart attacks in Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts is going to come out with their own AR-15 next. We found this item to be wildly popular in the States, so now we sell one. I mean, we don't care what we're complicit in.
It's a sugar glazed
news. Now it's in our news.
Yeah, it's Eric, a sugar glazed AR-15. You keep dropping it on the floor.
It's all slippery and shit. Don't keep this thing in a brown paper bag. It'll just be see through.
We just need some of that heat. We just need some of that NRA heat. You know, we want that. That's what we want.
So, Cabin, you're drinking this Dunkin' Donuts caffeinated
lemonade? Oh, no. I was just getting a coffee this morning. I saw the thing for it, and I'm like, why would you, you see the story, and you're like, we need that. We absolutely need that.
Chris is not ordering that until he gets his, will in order. There's a few things I want to make sure are squared away before I try the Dunkin' Donuts lemonade. Mm-hmm.
Make sure everybody knows to burn me up nice and good. I don't want this, don't get it loose here. I don't need a casket.
Dunkin' Donuts Energy Lemonade. Inform your next of kin.
As you should.
Guys, this has been a year for movies, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of movies you want to go to the theater for. The awards, quote-unquote, movies are chock-full of bangers. Even a few blockbusters in there. And that's a real fucking year for theater experiences. Post-pandemic, too. And I will say, arguably post-pandemic, scholars will argue the intro of this podcast forever. But I will say I've had some of the worst movie-going experience I've ever had in Los Angeles, like a city where people go to movies, city with, assigned seating, with blah, 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 all that. And I've still had some of the worst experiences I had amazing transcendent film experiences, but that's even more the norm for me. In the last year, I feel like everyone got fucking goldfish brained on how you're supposed to behave in public.
Oh, big time, dude. Big time. It's that we're coming back off the couch and getting back into the theaters, and I forgot I can't act like an animal in public. Oh, it's terrible.
No, but it's also they're lucky to have me. I could be watching this on Netflix. $20, right. I might as well piss on the seat.
I wish.
Yeah, I'd love $20. Well, I'm not going to cancel my business call that's supposed to happen while I'm in the fucking theater.
Jesus.
Somebody was watching a lot of chatty people
or what? I'm sorry.
Chatty people. It's rarely a group of people that are a problem. It's four individuals who somehow maybe they are like oceans elevening us and like they've all predetermined to go, let's make Killers of the Flower Moon one of the weirdest film going experiences for this guy ever.
No, wait, what happened with that? With Killers?
In Killers, a 3-hour and 40-minute movie, I had some of the most insane. A guy who was sitting like 5 seats away from me had what could only be described as wake apnea. And it was like, dude was like, and I think he was indigenous because he was explaining a lot of stuff to. Okay. So I did not like, get your shit together, pal. I was like, thank you. Thank you for, I hope you don't die in this screening. The irony would be too real. A guy behind me ate popcorn one kernel at a time for 3 hours and 40 minutes. Imagine eating popcorn for all. Killers is a quiet movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so you heard the popcorn and it was annoying you. What's funny is on the Upper West Side, for in Bruges, so this is like 16 years ago or whatever that is, I was in a movie and I was eating popcorn and the guy in front of me got so mad. Actually, his wife got, it was an elderly couple, very old. I told this story.
You'll find him up there.
On our podcast like 7 years ago, but I ended up threatening to fight this guy over eating popcorn.
Threatened to fight this old man. Let's just remember that really quickly.
So he like, so the wife turns around like, oh my God, they're eating, man. Like there's too loud. And then it starts attracting people. I say, you're yelling at us for eating popcorn in a movie theater. And then I think I told her to like mind her fucking business or whatever. And then the old guy gets up and, you know, classic old New York guy. He's got like a long coat. He's got a scarf still fixed to him. And he starts like, and I say, try it, old man. And we almost come to blows.
Jesus,
you should have done it. You should have. Well, I think that's how he wanted to go out. That clearly is how he wanted to leave this earth. Yeah, he's in battle.
And but it's a louder movie than Killers of the Flower Moon.
But well, come to blows, do you mean he's going to hit you with his magazine sack from of New Yorkers?
He gave me like, it was like, he looked at me like I was a dog, like rolling up a newspaper about to smack me in the face.
I'm going
to
hit you on the nose with this expired film form calendar. Yeah.
I've got a Jonathan Safran Foer novel I'm going to bounce off your fucking
head. Yeah, I got a Strand sticker on my face now.
Yeah, but what are you in for? I beat someone to death with the corrections.
Well,
I didn't say
anything to the guy behind me because I'm like, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just metronomically eating popcorn during the quiet. And it was crazy because it lasted over. I don't have the fucking willpower to eat popcorn for two. I will fucking shovel popcorn into my mouth.
This was, to explain, I wasn't eating it slowly throughout the movie. This was torrential downpour here and there.
I know when I'm really, this is for the viewers here, but when I'm really eating popcorn, I'm going like snake mouth where I'm like,
oh yeah, dude,
you're finding, like turn your whole head to get like your cheek stretch around. Yeah. You're like,
there's new parts of the mouth you're discovering through popcorn.
you're always trying to break a record. Every time you eat popcorn, you're just trying to get it a little bigger if you can.
Yeah, oh, those 28 pieces was pretty good. Maybe 32 would taste even better.
Do you bet me, buddy?
That like the you got to look out though if you're doing that. I don't think they have it anymore. That they were doing the Cheeto dusted popcorn for a while.
Sure.
That was you just got to third base with Chester the Cheetah when you were done. It was just like up your wrist somehow.
I never fucked with that. I kept the classics.
There's a kiss mark on your collar of Cheeto dust somehow. You're like, how did this happen?
Where did these sunglasses come from?
Chester. Cheesy.
Oh my God! Speaking of popcorn, real quick, you know when was the last time you think someone put their penis in a bucket of popcorn?
This afternoon.
Did that ever happen though?
Literally
or is that like
this
a movie
afternoon.
Thing?
Right, like Steve. You know, I was like, yes. Is it this afternoon? To Andrew's point, or was it 1981? Once
was it only in the film on the set of the film Diner? Or have they done it like countless times since?
Right. Yeah.
I feel like people have done it.
Yes. Right. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, 100% they did it. What a big enough movie.
We're all going, 100% we know someone who did. It's like, yeah, we all, everyone knows Steve here.
Well, and now because of the Dune bucket, you don't even have to go in from the bottom no more. You can go right in at the top and start fucking
that
thing.
The Dune
bucket would be perfect for this.
I'd be worried about the dude bug. It's a little big. I want a little smaller house. You know what I mean?
I want to look more flatter.
I want a better contrast.
You don't want to be the small worm?
Oh, look at this thing.
I got the, you know, I bought it, of course. I'm a Dune loser. But I mean, Andrew has it.
He's showing
Andrew's
it
Andrew's holding up his pocket pussy to the camera for all
That's right. But this pocket pussy's so big. Dude, you put it in the front seat of a car. It needs a seatbelt. This thing is massive.
Extra salt on that popcorn. I know $30 what Steve is saying. That, I'd be embarrassed. Like, I'd be like to my partner, keep digging. Nope, you're almost there. Hold on. Oh, I found it. No, that's a popcorn kernel. right next to that.
Come to those who wait. Just keep going. Keep
going. I told you you shouldn't have got a refill, babe. Now it's going to take longer.
No, you got to go medium or bust, man. Medium is a nice size.
Or else you bust, is what you're saying. For me, if it ain't medium, I'm busting.
it's getting saltier as I get down here. What's this?
But that's also, yes, you provide an extra salt layering, but you also run the risk of getting salt in your urethra.
Oh, that's definitely going there. Oh,
you're not coming back from that.
And the butter, of course.
I ain't afraid of no risks.
It's lube. It's lube at the end of the day.
I mean, I've had crazy theater stuff. I mean, it's always the non-sanctioned food is going to get you into a lot of trouble or going to get other people into a lot of trouble. I saw Rogue One for the second time with a buddy during the day. And I swear to God, a guy sat down next to me with a hoagie of tuna fish and he proceeded to eat like a hot dog. Like, you know what I mean? It was not. He did not treat it like a sand. Exactly.
Sideways the whole way.
He was filleting this fishy treat whilst I'm trying to still kind of get into this movie that I wasn't too into anyway. But yeah.
Wait, what did you say the movie was?
Rogue One.
See, okay, because that's, I mean, whatever. You're having a fun time at the movies. But like,
sure.
It also depends on the title, because when that Passion of the Christ came out, I was a good Catholic boy and went to the movies and saw it on opening day. And there was a woman who came in with a box, seeing the movie by herself, totally alone, with a personal pan pizza and a huge box of chicken tenders. And immediately the theater smelled like this gross, greasy food. And like, Jesus is getting like the cat o' nine tails stuck in his fucking eyelid. She's like, oh, the honey mustard's great.
Maybe she's a proud Roman pagan or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. She's like she's a descendant of Pontius Pilate. She's like, she's watching the movie with the only one with a different perspective of like, don't fucking steal.
He washed his hands. I'm not washing mine though.
I mean, you got to take it from the Empire's perspective. This guy's saying he's a son of God. Who's going to respect the Emperor anymore?
That's a good point. Yeah. Did you get a Chicago style? Did he get Chicago style, Steve, or was it just a normal?
It was just a ton of, but tuna fish was just
bad.
No, tuna is no bueno. This reminds Cobble Hill Cinemas, which was my old go-to movie theater when I lived in Carroll Gardens for a long time. I fucking love. I saw R.I.P.D. there six times.
Wait, no, Carroll Gardens still. I believe that theater still exists.
Court Street Union Square, which is Court Street. Regal, which that's closed. And that was the big blockbuster one. Yeah. Yes. Cobble Hill Cinemas
is the small one.
The small one that had $6 Tuesday movies.
Right.
And they had the least discerning bag checker in the universe. So my wife and I would bring like dinner, like elite level dinner. And one time we brought shrimp Alfredo pasta in a Tupperware. And we were like, this is pushing it, but we should eat this in the movie theater. And she's like, let's fucking go. We decide to do it. There's a little stretch of seats in Cobble Hill Cinema in one of the theaters where it's just twos up against the wall. So it's like five rows of two up against what I'm assuming is the projection booth or whatever the layout was. I barely remember. And right in front of me sits down an old producer I used to work for and his wife. And I'm like, oh, Kevin, what's going on? So good to see you. Blah, blah. I forget what the movie was, but it was a crowded theater. And I'm like, hey, I just have to tell you, about 15 minutes into the movie, me and Tiff here, we're going to be eating shrimp Alfredo pasta. We are so sorry. We didn't think we would know anyone. We got brave. And my friend and Kevin turns around and goes, dude, we brought catfish banh mi. So I am so glad. I was like, what? And I was like, how is that sound crazier on paper than what I brought? I thought I brought elite level movie ruining food, and they bumped me down one more.
They definitely did. That is crazy. I mean, so that's Shellfish and fucking fish in a theater.
A Cajun guy two rows down. Like, y'all mind if I have my gumbo down here?
He's got like a huge bag of crawdads, like sucking the heads off.
I guess we're all friends, y'all.
Yeah, it's a movie theater, so he's spitting the heads on the floor when he's
dropping
with
the
them.
Shells like they're peanut shells at a fucking bar. Like,
I'll show you. Sweep that up.
One time, Chris and I went to go see a screening of Secret. It was an advanced screening of Secret Window, a movie who could ever give a shit about, but we were thrilled about it.
The Johnny Depp movie?
The Johnny Depp, Stephen King, whatever movie.
I don't think I could place one detail from it in my head. I've seen
John Turturro goes, you stole my story, right? Is that that's the movie?
Yeah, that's he's wearing a big hat.
And the hat, the Amish hat there.
But who cares? And we're sitting down for this, and I look over, and like this lady, I swear to God, she has not just like fish in a Tupperware or some sort of delicious Alfredo concoction or even gumbo. It is a full on like actual carp that was with a head and everything wrapped in aluminum foil. And she's slowly unwrapping the aluminum foil and eating it like a bear would. You know what I mean? Like as if a bear were sitting next to us.
Oh my God.
I ruined what probably was a very tense part of that terrible movie, because Steve is like looking at it and trying to like stay quiet because he doesn't want everybody looking at this horrific David Lynch nightmare happening next to him. But like he just looks over at me and like hits me and he's like, do you see what the fuck that's happening over here? And I just look over and I like,
because he's the Oswald Cobblepot in the wild. Like, this person is eating fish.
To go to the concession stand and get a nice, cool drink.
You're like ruining your coat or whatever to bring fish.
You're dry cleaning that fish.
Yeah. Wiping oil all over you.
Didn't you guys go to the White Plains City Center for that?
Yeah, we did.
That's where fucking Passion of the Christ and Chicken Tenders lady was. I wonder if it was the same lady.
I hope so.
She's like on a different diet fad like every couple of months. She's like, yeah, when I saw her there, she was eating a lettuce-wrapped burger.
Yeah, she was off bread that month.
She was keto.
This is the Paul Giamatti chicken tendies diet.
The wrapped-up fish was for Lent, I think.
Yeah, of course.
In that Killers of the Flower Moon screening, a woman got her like icy down halfway and kept fucking shaking it. To keep it alive. And I was just like, no, 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 no. And I can like kind of re-zone in on what I need to zone in on. But I was with Ben Rogers, one of the Action Boys co-hosts, and he cannot. And he just turns around and he goes, excuse me, can you please stop shaking that? And the woman looked at it like, oh my God. Like I had not even And we had let her do it for like five rounds of like freshening up her icy. We're like, okay, she's not registering that this is insane to listen to. This is
also
all
how much
in
could
one
be left.
Screening. Yeah.
Right. So you yelled at her and then you took out all your pasta and started eating.
Yeah, I was like, you asshole. Now turn around. Hold on. Which is my wasabi? Like
put the garlic bread.
2 weeks ago, a buddy of mine and I went to see 2001 was playing at the Village East in 70 millimeters. We went to check it out. And speaking of quiet movies, man, this girl in front of us was shaking this popcorn tub that she had, or like it was a bag, or it was a tub. It was a Taylor Swift tub that they'd left over from the Eras Tour. And she's shaking this fucking popcorn to like get the butter and the salt moving like that.
Shake it off.
Just for like 10 minutes straight. And I was
shake
like,
it on.
I think you got it. Yes. Like, I think you got it. I think the fucking popcorn is mixed. And like, just when you think you're safe with these people, she finishes the popcorn, a plastic bag of hard candy, individually wrapped hard candy.
What were they? Grandma?
Like, they were like, I don't know if they were like the cinnamon disc ones.
Okay.
I was going fucking crazy, just the fiddling during 2001.
That shit drives me so crazy. Now, I go to some of those cool LA rep theaters like the Vista and the New Beverly.
Yeah.
These guys are fucking, the managers of these spots are rabid about phone use. Like when at the New Beverly, they explain like even just looking at the time is very bright for some people who are like, and like and like you realize that people don't even think about that at fucking all.
Nope.
But on the first night that the Vista was open, because Quentin spoke, they did yonder bags for everyone's phone. I didn't go, but Ben Rogers went, and he goes, I would choose to go to a theater that made us bag our phones. I would pick.
Wow.
And
absolutely.
I was like, holy shit, dude, I haven't thought of that. If a theater said, I'm sorry, but you have to put your phone in this locker outside. We have a system. We give you the bag or whatever. I would choose that theater. The thing I like most about the theater is the lack of, at the New Beverly, they go, and why? Some of you might have Apple Watches that will light up during the movie. Yeah. Like, shut everything off. I'll turn all of that shit off. And it's crazy that people need to be reminded that.
It's the Wild West, man. It is the Wild West. I saw Dune over the weekend. There was a girl like three rows in front of me just actively taking a picture of the climax of the movie. And I was like, the fucking balls. Like, I appreciate those rep theaters that really hammer that stuff home, and it's not like faking the funk like Draft House. Sorry, Draft House.
That's like, if you look at your phone, you get kicked out. But if you're a waiter who talks full volume about pretzels to the during Zone of Interest, you're fine.
I appreciate the fact that New Beverly stopped bringing out the guillotine when they made the announcement. So I think that's better. I you know, it was scaring the kids, I think.
The Alamo also has, speaking of Zone of Interest, that very turn against your neighbor policy where it's like, dude, you can report people. It's okay. Someone's bothering you. Raise an order.
Snitch factory. Right. You're just raising a snitch factory.
Exactly. Which I'd always be terrified to do because I'd get punched in the head in the parking lot afterwards. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like the old like, oh yeah, I'm just going to raise my order. Because you got to do two things. You got to be like, I'm raising an order card. The guy next to me is loud, but also bring me a soda so everybody can tell.
That's exactly. Cool. You have to put an item on the thing because if you just rat these people out.
Right.
Yep.
So you jot down your zone of interest cocktail there, or your specialty themed cocktail or whatever.
Now, you guys are frequent moviegoers like myself. I can't get a snack every time I go, or else I'd be, my popcorn consumption, my snack consumption would be through the roof.
I almost never get concessions.
Yeah, I will sometimes, if it's like the odd timing of the movie, or if I know I'm going to be blasted and it's going to be 2 hours and 40 minutes, I'll tuck some fucking Ziploc bag of nuts or some dried mango or some kind of healthy old man bullshit in my bag. But I'm rarely buying popcorn at the movie theater anymore. I can't even like afford it. Like to go to the, I'm A-list, so I can afford to go to the movies multiple times a week, but I can't afford to tack on another $25 each time. Right.
No, my brother would go, he would get a sweet, a savory, like he would really do up to, and I never got that vibe. I was always more like, I'll have a soda just to keep, you know what I mean? So I can stay awake because I'm an old man. And when the lights go out, I start to get sleepy. just that's where I'm at my age these days. But like, so a little caffeine, that'll keep me going. But like, my brother specifically will go and he'll spend $60 on himself. And you know what I mean? Just for the snow caps and the popcorn and the whatever. It's got to be at least one and the other.
My wife is the same way. Popcorn, sweet, and a soda. Yeah.
And do they finish it all?
Yeah. Well, not always her popcorn. And her sweet is usually like an ad, like she'll dump peanut M&Ms or whatever in the popcorn.
Oh, nice. That's good move. Nice.
That's a glad. Shout out to Dynasty Typewriter, the comedy theater out here. They sell that as a snack.
Really? Oh,
that's nice.
With like different mix-ins. Like you can get like crumbled Butterfinger in there or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Put your cock in that bucket.
Yeah. I'll take the one that's just butter and peanut M&Ms, please.
I mean, I will say,
sit next to someone hearing that noise. You're not fucking that bucket, are you, pal?
Schluck, schluck. Andrew and me worked at a movie theater for much of our teen years and part of college too. After you see the grease that they make the popcorn with, it becomes only in emergency situations with the popcorn. And I don't know. It's been very rare that I've needed to get popcorn at a movie. But like most of the time, it's now. I will say, I hate that they chose AHA, those machines. They chose AHA as the seltzer of choice.
Okay.
That's just sugar water. Like,
yeah.
It tastes like flavored stuff. It's not like the essence, like a Schweppes or a
LaCroix
or Polar or anything like that. It's it's disgusting. It's really, it's super sugary.
Which chain are you talking about, though, that has this?
This is what anyone that has the machine where you like
the Coke freestyle.
The Coke freestyle. Yes.
Oh, what? Yeah. I was just at the AMC Lincoln Square. They still got they got Seagram's. You can get that stuff.
Oh, they do.
I didn't notice whatever AHA is.
But it's
But the popcorn grease. What are we talking here? Is this like Baron Harkonnen's like bathing liquid? Like,
kind of orange. Dark orange is the color, and that's all I see every time.
But let me tell you. Let me tell you, though, here's where it really breaks your soul. With the theater that we worked in, it was in a shit garbage dirt mall in upstate New York that, like, at night when it was off, they just turned the heat off in the entire building, just completely off. So in the winter, if you were like one of us poor bastards opening up that concession stand in the middle of winter at like whatever, like 9 o'clock in the morning, they would come in like a big red metal bucket of oil.
Yo.
And you had this is the kind of popcorn popper model we had, where it was like a heating device, like a wand that you put into this thing, and it went down to the bottom of the barrel and it kept the oil, you know, loose and warm and whatever. But it would be frozen when you would get in. So you're there trying to, like, you're working an oil rig, jamming this heat wand into this like frozen bucket of orange, gross, fatty oil.
Oh my God, it's like James Caan cracking a safe.
Yeah.
Just molten shit falling all over the floor. And you would get it on the floor, and heaven forbid if you did, because the rest of the day, every single person behind that concession stand is just slip sliding away. It was
brutal. Yeah, that's just
brutal.
Like the impossible to clean. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, the only way you can clean up this kind of oil was with a different kind of oil. And you're like, what? You're like, yeah, sorry. You need a less greasy oil, and that's your best bet. You're like, oh, okay.
Do you want to keep your information private? Try NordVPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. VPNs create an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. And it's easy to use. NordVPN is mad easy to use. You connect with one click, or you can enable auto connect for zero-click protection. Easily switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. They have 6,000-plus servers in 61 countries. Change your location easily. This allows you to safely access your favorite streams and other content from home, no matter where you go. Nord also has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. Plus, one NordVPN account can be used on 6 devices and supports every major platform. Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I know what you're thinking to yourself. I should get an exclusive NordVPN deal at nordvpn.com/mighty. You'd be right. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal at nordvpn.com/mighty. NordVPN.com/MIGHTY. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's nordvpn.com/mighty for an exclusive deal on NordVPN. Oh, man. Factor is delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Fresh, never-frozen meals, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. 35 different options to choose from every week. Calorie smart, protein plus, keto, and 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started and get after your goals. Look, you can fuel up fast with their restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. I always have a few in the freezer ready to rip when I want one. They have easy options for the entire day. Breakfast, midday bites, more. And it's no prep, no mess. They're ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or even cleanup needed. You don't have, for a guy like me who has no dishwasher, it's a dream come true. And you can flex it to your schedule, which is also important for me since I travel so much. So get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved, so it's nutritious, delicious, and cheap. What more can you ask for in 2024? Head to factormeals.com/mighty50 and use code mighty50 to get 50% off. That's code mighty50 at factormeals.com/mighty50 to get 50% off. factormeals.com/mighty50 to get 50% off.
Let's analyze behavior a little bit. I'm like excited that so many people seem to be back into them, because movies for a while seemed to be only for movie heads.
Yeah.
So like when you would go to them, you'd be like, we're all movie heads here. It seems like there's like a modicum of respect. We understand. But it seems like, and I'm happy that more people are going to the movies, which hopefully means we'll just get a bigger variety of movies. But it feels like we're getting more and more people who are like, you haven't gone to the movies before.
Yeah,
you haven't been anywhere besides like a concert or your living room, because you're not acting like how anyone is supposed to act. First of all, the fucking theaters put AMC especially puts 30 minutes of trailers. So everyone is like, well, why rush to be there on time?
Dude, yes.
The timing.
Yeah, I hate that.
This is the next pandemic. The being late to the movies pandemic.
Yes.
This fucking shit.
The far
man.
More deadly pandemic. Which is, of course.
It's worse than the pandemic.
Well, dude, like with shit like repertory screenings, though, that 2001 screening, no pre-show in front of it. You had motherfuckers, like the dude was on the fucking moon and people are walking into the theater.
No.
You've missed 25 minutes of this movie.
But it's the entitlement of not just walking in. Like, I would either say, fuck, I missed the movie, and then try and get a refund or whatever I could do, or just say, fuck me, or have the good grace to slither in. You know what I mean? Like, we've all snuck in home after fucking it was too late to come home. You know how to sneak into a room. You can do that if you have the respect for the other people.
How about my flashlight on my phone?
G15! Where the fuck is G15?
Yes.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
You're touching on the main concern. I'd never felt this way, but now I'm starting to feel like I'm from a different generation, where in my generation it was like, it's really not about you right now.
Yep.
Like, there's other people watching a movie here. You're just entering the room. Join the fucking masses somehow. But I will say, that's my generation. The generation above and below seems to not really play.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute, who did I learn this behavior from? It's old fucks. My parents are old. My mom is an old fuck who now has no respect for how to, but she's the one who instilled that this is how you have to behave in public. But now is like a freewheeling, just like, I'm going to the movies. Like, just walk in. Like,
they earned it. I earned it. I earned it. I can be a monster now. By the way, when I saw Barbarian, an older couple walked in so late in the movie, they never even met Bill Skarsgård's character.
Jesus. The highlight of the movie for me is that first time.
And then the movie ended like an hour later because they walked in so late. And they literally started arguing about how movies used to be longer and what is this?
Yes. That's
that
what you want to hear now.
Stupidity, dude.
Movies used to be long. They used to have a first act. I mean, we just jumped right in the middle.
I couldn't believe it.
That's incredible.
But like, Alamo doesn't let you in like at 5 minutes after the movie started. Like, AMC is just like, whatever, theater's down on your right. You know, like you're like, oh, I could be 20 minutes late. And so you never feel consequences for running late. You're just like, oh, what trailer did I? And if you're like us, again, going to the movies multiple times a month, you're like, I can't sit through that fucking trailer again. I've seen the trailer for the creator like 200 times at this point.
1,000 times that one. My God, I saw that one. I'll say, like, Alamo Drafthouse, I don't want to pile on Alamo Drafthouse at all. Although I do. I fucking hate them. But I was going to see, I saw Nope there. My second time I saw it. And they might have this thing about the cell phones, and maybe they have something about some certain things that you say in the theater, they might get some antennas about. But I will tell you, I heard for at least 5 to 7 minutes of, Well, I mean, we could split the wings, and then we could have the chili.
Yeah, exactly.
And like discussing it. And I'm like, why? First of all, why didn't you look at this beforehand when you first got in here? A, because they got here right as the movie was starting, not during the pre-show.
Yeah.
So like,
yep.
And like all this shit, and I'm just like, is this a conversation I have to listen to? Yeah, no, the turkey burger is actually.
It's a little side story, Chris. You know, you're watching the main movie, and it's like a little side quest. You get a little detail about their life.
Yeah. That's why not to defend Alamo, but I go there a lot, so I will. But you just got to know what you're going there for, because if it's I feel like horror movies there are not
nope
is probably the worst thing that's you could see at Alamo, because want to be completely immersed if you're going to get scared, and yes, someone checking their bill or whatever, that kind of stuff, or a waiter loping over you with
a dude dropping pan a pizza. Tray of glasses during Hereditary, and like seeing that in Alamo is why I still have not rewatched that movie, and I think it's just okay, because so I feel like I've only seen like 77% of it due to things falling on the fucking floor during that screening.
So what are good movies to go to the Alamo? Because I go like never. I go once a year maybe.
Dumbass no, Marvel stuff.
Blockbuster shit is perfect there.
Big movies. Also, like when they rerun movies you've seen before that you're like, I'll go see that and have two beers and a.
Yeah,
a,
exactly.
Yeah.
I did Wrath of Khan there, got absolutely hammered because I'll do a whiskey neat, which is, you know, just a regular, a little two fingers pour of whiskey. But I just put whiskey neat on an Alamo card, and I feel like no one's ever done that before.
Yeah. No, because rarely are there real bartenders there.
Exactly.
Dude.
So I got a glass of they gave me like a glass of whiskey.
What the hell?
It was like three quarters full, and I was like,
it was called Ricardo Montalban's Pex. Wrath of Khan themed beverage.
And I just got hammered because it was a shit ton of whiskey.
Did they charge you a lot for that?
It was like a $20 glass of whiskey.
Okay, so good. That's like regular price, though. That's not
bad for New York. I went to go see Ant-Man at the Alamo in San Francisco, and I was wasted when I walked in. I ordered a beer and a burger, and I was asleep in my chair before the burger. My buddy had to like nudge me when the food came. I was like, oh boy, we got a lot left in this movie, huh?
Ironically enough, I'm seeing a rep where me and my wife go to see a rep, a late night rep, like 10 o'clock rep of Legend of the Drunken Master 2, which is great, awesome movie to watch. And a guy sits next to me by himself, and he goes, can I get two gin and tonics? And I mean, he gets the first one is chugging. The first one was for chugging. The second one was for sipping. And he passes out. He's intermittent. He gets a shot later on.
Oh my God.
But he's quiet. He's to himself. At the end of the movie, he grabs my shoulder and he's like, you like that? I was like, yes. He was like, it's a classic. And then just kind of dragged away into the night. And I was like,
that's awesome.
You're a classic.
He ain't wrong, brother. He ain't wrong. That reminds me, you just made me think of when you go to see movies at the New Beverly, if you go to the double header, the double feature, when you step out in between, there's just like 80 guys that look like us just fucking ripping balls together. It's just, it's just a bunch of guys in neck beards and shorts all just blasting fucking balls like, well, you got to get back in for the next Shaw Brothers movie.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? None of those dudes waiting for the AV Club bus to pick them up to write articles. They're like, come on. Get in the back.
I mean, that's something I will say is there's been a lot of discussions about opening up like different kinds of theater experiences in a theater, like having being able to go watch a movie with a phone out. It's always come in and out. That discussion has always been there. Like, why don't we just schedule a one theater to handle these kinds of movies? Now, I was usually against it, but if we are going to continue this habit of like the one big movie is going to take up 10 of the 15 screens.
Well, why not make one of them the phone screen?
The phone screen one, make one that where you can fucking vape.
Okay, this is what you're fighting for.
I don't need a specialty screening for that, Chris. I vape in the theater.
Where you are allowed, where you don't have to worry about the little guy coming around and being like, what the fuck is that?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, the little guy's coming around.
Here he comes again. You want to get in on this?
He's scurrying up the stairs.
Who's vaping up here, boys?
But what are they doing?
They're throwing barrels at him like Donkey Kong.
Is that like a security thing? You guys worked at movie theaters. Is that like a... What they're just making sure the movie's on?
Oh, the quality check shit? Yeah, it's like, is the air conditioning fine? Is the sound okay? Is the thing in focus, which doesn't really matter anymore at most multiplexes? But that
they don't care.
Yeah, that was the gist. And then like you kept your ear to the audience, like any assholes out there, maybe chit-chatting and whatnot. So
nobody fucking...
You gotta look out for the fucking. You'll find that every once in a blue moon.
Right, the popcorn bucket fellas.
John, have you ever been a movie theater hero? Like just something's going wrong with the print and you go out and you're the guy. You're the last angry man to tell them. I've done it. It's a great feeling. It is when you save the theater for everyone else.
Sometimes it's humiliating because I tried to do that recently. And because now they've gotten rid of all projectionists. The staff is like high school kids. It was so quiet. They were playing Across the Spider-Verse, actually. So quiet. There was something wrong with the theater. I go out to tell this kid, and he looks at me like I'm the biggest, dumbest asshole in the world. And guess what happened? Fucking nothing.
I can't be a movie. That's too much pressure for me because then it activates like anxiety of like, oh no, I'm the guy who's in charge of this now. And that is too much pressure for me to handle. I saw fucking Thanksgiving, the Eli Roth movie, at the Vista as the second day they were open before they were fully opening it. And the sound kept cutting out. And Eli Roth was there. Because he did a little intro.
Did you walk up to him to complain?
Yeah, I was like, hey, pal.
Your movie sounds like shit.
He did something really fucking funny, though, and this was like the most L.A. bullshit ever, was he had the he talked into the mic to introduce the movie. He had some of the cast, we're so excited. Maybe I'll come back up afterwards and we could chat for a little bit at the end of the movie. Movie is killing in this crowd. Like, it's just everyone's so into it. Then the sound starts randomly cutting out, and it keeps happening, and people are getting on edge. But also, everyone knows Eli Roth is there. So everyone keeps kind of like glancing, like, he's got to be furious. He can't go like, fuck this theater, because it's his buddy's theater. Yeah. So he's not going to. But what he does do, which is really cool, he's like, you know what? I've seen this movie 1,000 times in the edit. Hold on. And then he just starts going like, okay, I'm looking at my phone. I don't recognize the new guy from class. Like, and he just kept us up with the plot for
That's awesome.
And it was really a crazy, like, very specific version of director's commentary. It was like director's summation. He was like, okay.
That's amazing.
And now they're like nervous about, wait, what happened to this guy earlier? And I'm like, that's such a fucking crazy way to watch a movie.
That's great.
Yeah. I think the one time I got there was, there wasn't, surprisingly, it was like a 2 p.m. screening of The Card Counter, and there was only like 4 people there. Surprise, surprise.
All of them weirdly drinking and journaling the whole
thing. Oh, definitely.
All of them with the army
in
jackets.
Their underwear.
Every one of them. Yes. Ready to go. And it gets to the part where they're walking, Haddish and Isaacs are walking through like those big light up.
It's the best part of the movie. Yeah, it's the best part of the movie. Yeah.
So, and all of a sudden, the sound cuts out. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go do it. Like, I can run out. I had to go to the bathroom anyway. So, I was like, hey, the sound cut out in Card Counter, whatever. I go to the bathroom. I come back. The guy comes in not long after. He's like, now, folks, we fixed it. Problem is, we got to start the movie from the beginning.
Oh,
wow.
No, you don't.
Well, I don't know what it was. I have no idea. But I was like, fine. I'm like, it was a day. I had nothing to do that day. So I was like, fine, let's do it. So it's another 45 minutes. What happened?
How many people stayed? Now I'm curious. What's the percentage?
Everybody stayed.
Well, wow, that's right. It's just a 3 p.m. Yes. Dangerous loner screening of Card Counter. So everybody's
Exactly, Steve. I thought it was just going to be the only people left were Chris and his rifle.
It's everybody in their journals. They all stay there. And it cuts out at the same exact spot.
Oh, fuck. My God. That sucks.
That's amazing. Did you stay for a third time?
No, I did. I was just, he's like, well, that's here's it. Your, dis- yeah, here's that's your it. Discount tickets. Here you go. There you go.
See, but saying like, oh, there's something up with the sound and Card Counter, that's totally fine. But like, it really depends on the title. It can be humiliating. Like, Steve, I remember you and I saw the 2007 animated Ninja Turtles movie
at
the Village East, and it was out of focus. And I'm sitting there, and I'm a former projectionist, so like, I'm just, it's burned into my brain to look out for this stuff at all times and be obnoxious about it. And it's out of, and I'm like, this fucking cartoon movie's out of focus. I can't stand it. And I had to go out to the box office and like humiliate myself to be this, you know, I was in my late 20s at that point or whatever. Like, excuse me, the Ninja Turtles movie's out of focus.
it's the cartoon, not the cool cartoon one we just did, the one from like, with like actual like bullshit ninjas and
it's
ghosts.
It's garbage. There's monsters in it. Patrick Stewart voices the villain.
Full of families and just two weird stoners.
Just two dudes. Yep, just two dudes. One time I went out, I had to complain at that White Plains Theater. The light was on for the movie that we were seeing. We're like 15 minutes in the movie. I kept being like, lights are still on in the trailers. All right, it's just the trailers. You're like bargaining with yourself instead of doing something about it, you know? Oh, it's just, all right, it's just the commercial for like the theater chain, whatever. All right, now the movie's on. And it's like 20 minutes of the movie, and I had to go out and be like, excuse me, could you turn the lights off and Win a Date with Tad Hamilton?
But the preview is a big deal. You gotta let those play. You get a chatty couple behind you. I never say word, but you keep your ears open now because you're like, all right, what's going to happen here? Uh-huh. We got some chatters.
Full-blown chatter until the trailers. During trailers, you're allowed close whispering to the party you're with.
Yes.
Post-trailers, talking is over.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
That's my rule. A light chat, my wife, who is not does not play by the same rules as me, I'll like just be like, has the movie started officially for you? Like, I'm just icing her out as she asks me some question. I just stare straight ahead. I'm like, I'm a fucking dork. I'm like, it's quiet time. We're on Caracas.
Those are credits. They are part of the movie. Yes. Okay,
that's true.
Oh no, the second the prop movie proper. Forget it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just because I mean people, and that's the other thing too is I mean I think that like certain, I remember like quiet movies, like really people don't understand how to react during them. Like I remember when I saw 28 Days Later, the first, you know, 40 minutes or whatever is pretty quiet or, you know, almost no dialogue whatsoever. That's that eerie part and all that great stuff. And no one knows what to do with themselves as opposed to just be immersed in the film. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like,
well, everyone's a little more self-conscious because all of your movement can be kind of like weirdly heard and shit. So all of a sudden you're like in your head of like, is that my chair that's fucking squeaking? And like, and you're like, I will open my Skittles at the first big volume event that happens in this fucking movie. And then you're like,
you got like a cough coming. You're like trying to find a louder moment in the movie or something.
Yeah, I'm going to sneeze. I hope that car blows up. I don't want to bother anybody.
That's always seltzers for me. Like when, and I like, I'm like doing the twist and back.
Twist and back.
Yeah. And like, wait, I have to wait for a very loud moment to do that. I think the audiences not knowing when to or how to react to certain movies thing, like everybody complains about like, and yes, I also get annoyed when like a bunch of like early 20-year-olds are like snickering at the Nicole Kidman thing for the 58th time in their life. And it's, you know, it's a little annoying, I will say.
But let them have their fun a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Like, but I think a lot of it is also like the fact that we have all these social medias that are have their own, like there's film Twitter, there's Letterboxd. People do want these like scenes and these moments to be like, not to even have an opinion about the movie, but just be like, oh my God, this happens in this movie.
Yeah, like what we were saying, it's about you now. It's I'm seeing this. You're lucky that I'm seeing this movie because I have made the world.
That's why that girl was taking pictures of fucking sandworms the other night.
Exactly. Right. And that's why that older woman just ate all those nachos while the Lord was being whipped in the streets.
Well, this is where it's heartbreaking because, you know, Denis doesn't want someone having their phone out during the movie. Yep. But I bet you Warner Brothers is very cool with people taking images and like not fully against it because it's just more press and it's user generated. It's free fucking press. And that's the shit that drives me. All the AMC has to do and Regal and all the big chains, all they have to do is just explain the rules. Yep. But they're so worried about turning off people. I'm like, if you're going to turn off someone who refuses to play by the rules of a movie theater, then they don't get to go to movies. Now, going off what Chris was saying earlier, I know that some big theaters, when they're doing a bunch of showings of a movie, will do a kids allowed screening.
Yes.
So people could bring their babies and all the dads and moms are like, we're not going to get mad at each other here because like this is the only way we're going to be able to see this movie. I love that. Make rowdy screenings of every, like, oh no, am I in the rowdy screening? All right, well, I'll book something else, you know?
I'm getting punched in the back of the head at Fast X. I'm at the rowdy screening.
Oh, I accidentally bought the mosh pit screening.
Dude, that's what happened that time I saw Rogue Nation and I didn't know I bought 4DX tickets.
Oh, man.
And I walked in and I was like, why does this theater have carnival rides as seats? Oh, fuck, it's a 4DX screening. Oh, and I'm just, I will never do that again. That was the dumbest, dumbass. Like, you're sitting there and, like, chugging along when they're driving cars, and I was like, it pisses on you? Nothing.
That's just not for me. Thing. I get if someone
get
else wants.
Missed.
What is, give me either a theme park or a fucking movie. I don't need both in one. Yeah. We did 4DX for Ready Player One because we were like, this might make the movie manageable. And my wife was like, never again. I'm like, did you hate that? She's like, I couldn't go to sleep. Normally when I hate a movie, I go, all right, well, I'll go to sleep for 90 minutes right
now. Also, you are really like putting your life in your own hands if you have to get up to go to the bathroom during that show. There's no seatbelts, no nothing, man. My fucking movie nachos were going everywhere. It's awful.
Where is that mist coming from? What is the quality of this spray? Yeah.
Hey, great question. I don't know. It just comes from the seat back in front of you and pisses on your face.
And now you have an eye infection.
Yeah, I know.
They,
we're like,
they sent like...
Should I wear a mask in the movie theater? No, I just wear fucking goggles if you go to 4DX.
When that part, when they T-bone that fucking car with the bad guy in it and it goes into the river, when you see the truck hit the river, I just got douched with this, like,
oh wow,
who knows from where mist. And I was like, but what is this is not worth it.
It's like, I'm the truck. What is that?
Whoa, it's like I was a PA working on the set near the where the stunt happened.
Right. Yeah. They should cut in to yell at you then. Like, get away from there. We're from, you know.
Hey, watch it, asshole. You almost got hit by that truck. What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be in the movie theater?
Have you guys done that Regal Screen X?
No, what is that? Is that
which
not 4DX?
That? They're trying new shit. My AMC now is like the one by the Grove that when I go to, it has like a Limax, has a fucking laser, has a Dolby, has all these different things. And I'm like, I don't know what any of these are, except just give me the biggest screen for Dune 2 now, bitch.
That stuff is totally fine. Like, I am all on board for the premium large format. Like, PFL screens are really, you know, it's great. It's a great, like, thing to be like, hey, you definitely can't get this at home. I saw Killers of the Flower Moon in IMAX and it's fucking great. But so this Screen X, this is how I saw Madame Web.
Oh, is it the three walls?
Yep. Yep.
Wait, well, no you way.
Just, so they have, you have the, you got the movie right in front of you. It's like normal movie screen. And then on the sides of the theater, it's just these like kind of gray white paneling, right? And there are four projectors pointed at the opposite wall. And it's basically like, your coworker at the office has like a screen extender for his computer.
Yeah.
That's what it does to the wall. So it's like, here's Madame Web standing in the street, but here's additional sides of the street spread out, looking terrible, going over like speakers and exit signs. Like, but, it is but, the jankiest, shittiest thing.
But there's extra movie. It's a value.
Dude, I was like, no. Who is like this, you know, who's it doing it for? You know what I mean?
Yeah, imagine that, like, asking like Marty, a Regal asks that we just shoot some imagery of cornfields so that we can have that be on the sides during the sides. Course, wait, what?
And the frame is the frame is the frame is the frame. What are you talking about?
I don't know if this is better or worse, but it's not through the whole movie. So like when IMAX goes from like non-IMAX camera, the aspect ratio changes. This like those projectors just go blank and then you're just looking back at the screen again.
That's demented.
I guess they're trying to get gear up for whatever there will be. Do you think we will live long enough that VR movies are ever actually a thing? Or like is it just gonna be because I mean
not
like,
us.
Would it,
no,
because the problem
we're dead already.
In the next 7 years,
I don't think it's happening.
Not for that, that second doctor's appointment.
No, tomorrow I got to go to the doctor's, Taco Bell, a different doctor, Wendy's, and then my cardiologist.
And then I got to get the Panera lemonade to top it all off, for good measure.
I have a big
measure.
Glass of Panera lemonade before bed, so I vibrate my off to my dreams.
I mean, to what you said, Steve, I don't think it's going to happen. I've been reading some interesting things about those what are those glasses, the Google visor,
Apple Vision Pros,
Vision, that thing. I hear watching movies and shows and that is really cool, and I
hear that's the best version of using that thing, which is crazy for
$3,500. Yeah,
I'm so rocked by that price. I could not believe. I was like, oh, it's a VR helmet. You know, I have like a Vision Quest 2 or whatever the hell. And so I was like,
the Matthew
Modine
wrestling movie is now back.
Oh my God. That's a movie I haven't heard about in a long time.
Yeah. $3,500 though for that thing. Woof.
Wow. No, and it's just for pornography, huh, Chris?
Or I mean just normal movies too. Like I mean,
but you
I
could jerk off to normal movies if you want.
Oh, yeah, you want to do that. Yeah. Well, you know, watch Wild Orc.
We know what you want.
40X my house.
I mean, I think the issue is that expansion rather like trying to find new audiences, which they always are, rather than like I think probably smarter ideas like doing a phones only screening or a vape only screening. Or anything like that, they were like, well, let's change the actual experience of watching a movie.
Right.
And like,
yeah.
Like, rather than like, and the first idea was pretty interesting. 3D, pretty interesting. It had some stuff there that was like, okay, there's a couple movies that actually look great in 3D.
That
if you ever
Avatar
see,
in 3D? Fuck yeah.
Avatar? Mm-hmm. Even back then, Hitchcock's Dial M for Murder in 3D is amazing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Amazing.
They sometimes play this. They tour it around. I know Filmform has done it before. Yes. It's worth checking out that movie in 3D.
Just Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D is fucking tight, too.
So, like, you get something like 4DX or, like, these, like, hyper, like, all the different IMAX, Dolby, laser, all these things because they want to change what they like. You have to find growth somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to try to find it in the experience rather than like, what are you supposed to be doing in a theater? Watching the movie seriously by yourself, watching it with your friends seriously by yourself, having fun with your friends at the movie, having fun by yourself, or ignoring the movie totally and making out and trying to finger your girlfriend. That's it. These are very simple things you're supposed to do during a movie, and then you can't, you shouldn't be trying to break out of that too much. Like, that's
one for the zone of interest, finger your girlfriend screening, please.
I fingered
zone
my
zone of interest, Jerry.
I figured my girlfriend when I was like 15 or 16 during Devil's Advocate. And it was a full screening. Like there was someone sitting next to her on one side and me on the other side. And I have my hand fully down her fucking Abercrombie
jeans. Way to go.
Just getting into that zone of interest.
I'll tell you what zone I'm interested in, sweetheart.
X-Files Fight the Future for me.
Look at all the bees.
They're in a cave now? What?
Wait, let's talk a little bit about positive movies experiences because they are fewer because it takes one bad apple to spoil a bunch. In order to have a big basket of delicious apples, it requires a lot of things lining up. But one of the first movies post-pandemic, I think maybe it was post-pandemic, was Fast 9, or is that right before? I can't remember
it
when.
It could be right after, actually.
I think it was right after.
Yeah.
It was a big gathering of people. My buddy, former guest of the podcast, Demi Adigiwibwe, put together a big crowd of fucking people to go, and people were dressed up, like in tank tops. People wore, like, my friend Addy wore a Corona bottle as a costume to, like, the screening. And it was like, we're up in the big fucking Burbank, in the huge screen there. It was like, all right, this is going to be fun. Everyone's getting beers. We sit down. Fast 9 is this kind of movie where you're like, you want to see it in a crowded theater. It's going to be fucking, but it's not Killers of the Flower Moon. It's not Oppenheimer. So you're not as stressed about. So you're like, all right, if I have to pee, I have to pee. I'll miss one of Roman's fucking quips. sit down for the movie. The first 10 minutes plays. The theater's being so great. Sound starts cutting out. And someone comes out. Lights come up. Someone comes out. It's like, we're so sorry that the sound cut out. We'll be able to fix it, and we'll start the movie right where we left off. And someone goes, and like, I'm with like a few people, I'm friends with them, like, they should start it over. Because it's like only been 10 minutes. We were flowing. We were flowing so good. I'm like, so what do you think? Should we? And all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, let's just start it over. We should start it over. And someone else goes, start it over. And then all of a sudden someone's like, start it over. And then we start a huge start it over chant. Yes. In like a 600 seat theater. Everyone's chanting, start it over. And the person goes, okay, it looks like manager says timing wise, we can start it over. They start the movie over. And now for the first 10 minutes, it's a fucking like late night cult screening of a movie everyone's seen 100 times. Because we just saw it. People are responding as the son of like dominant, you know, well, what about Brian Jr.? And it's like, he says he's okay. And everyone's like, yeah, we all know the lines. And then when we catch up to what we've seen already, boom. A good movie-going audience. We just become them.
Nice.
Like, fuck yes, dude. And that was a truly positive. Like, we got the best of, like, all three kinds of worlds.
Yeah. That is so rare. That is so rare.
Yeah, I mean, there's a cool, I don't know if you've ever been here in Williamsburg, John, the Spectacle Theater. It's like about a 25-seat it's a bodega, and everyone should look at the Spectacle Theater. They're a small organization. They do awesome stuff.
Incredible stuff.
It's basically a bodega that somebody hollowed out, put about 20 movie theater seats in Williamsburg, and they have a projector, and they're usually projecting stuff off YouTube. It's like basically going to your friend Brian's house and paying him $5, but it's actually kind of wonderful, and like you will get, because it's a small community, you will get like a really nice kind of fun atmosphere with people, and like people be making jokes maybe if it's that kind of, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, but otherwise fairly respectful kind of thing.
Well, it's also one of those things where, you know, like mom and pop aren't coming in from Maplewood to go to that 30, like they're like, oh, this is the movie everyone's talking about, the People's Joker playing on
exactly.
in a bodega on off YouTube. It's like, no, the people are like when you go to see Oppenheimer on IMAX is when you bump into like, we heard about this film that was coming out by Nolan Ryan or whatever. You're like,
oh. Oh my God. I saw Oppenheimer 7 times.
Love
and
it.
And pretty good audiences throughout. I got to say one of the best was, I went to a small theater near where I live now, and it was in the afternoon. It had been playing forever. No one, just private Oppie screening for me.
Ooh, I don't think I've ever had. Every time I've had the private, oh shit, is it going to happen? Some asshole shows up.
Oh really? Like,
Madam
Web.
And it just
was
having
the other person
there just sucks. You know,
yeah. It does.
No, I've been there with me and the two people I came with, and no one else. But I've never been. I've been to tons of movies by myself, but never ended up being alone in the theater.
That's happened several times.
Yeah, like I mean, during the trailers, you're like alone. You're like, oh shit, is it going to happen? And then some guy shuffles in.
And he sits right next to you. He's like, hi, Steve. And you're like, what the fuck?
You know, what if I have my tuna hot dog?
When I saw Thanksgiving, I was by myself and I was like, okay, now I'm going to have the private screening again. And the last second, some guy comes in and he sits up front and he's on his phone the entire time.
Oh my God.
He wasn't even paying attention to the movie, not caring about anything, just not. At least talk to someone. Get something done. Just scrolling.
Wanted to get out of the house.
Scrolling on the phone. Come on, pal.
Seeing people look at Instagram on their phone, like just casually, like if your phone's out, I better be able to see that you're picking up a phone call from someone labeled babysitter. obviously your phone should be on fucking airplane mode. You should run out if you have like a kid unwatched at home and you're afraid, like you're waiting to hear if their blood sugar numbers are right.
Then police captain at morgue.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
POTUS.
Doctor with cancer results.
I better get this.
Just saving that name in your phone. Yes.
I'm remembering.
Doctor, what is it? I'm watching MacGruber.
It's great. I remember, like, as far as like a full theater, like getting into it, I remember very, and this is, it's good because I always find that it's better when the movie itself is like either like fine or even not good. And then the certain energy just kind of picks it up a little bit more.
Sure.
Hustle and Flow, the rap movie with Ludacris.
Yep.
And Terrence Howard. I had a theater that was going crazy every time the actual music started up. Like literally people standing in the theater and like going along with it. Like it was incredible. I have never felt that level of energy.
3-6 Mafia will get you going.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, please. I mean, yeah, smoked out, low stout, as we should be. I do want to say I had one. I'm sure everybody's had something like this. I went to see the South Park musical with my father. Mm-hmm. And like I had seen my father laugh or chuckle at things before. I had never seen him unable to get his breath, like ripping, laughing, like just beet red, screaming, laughing. It's like it was like a weirdly like very intimate moment for us. Like I just had never seen him like that. And like similarly at Ocean's 13, my mom was the drunkest she's ever been. Period. 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 Like,
you know what?
Laughing at every stupid joke in that movie, like so 10 times more than she should have.
A, did she drive? And B, she showed up loaded? Or was it like a drinking screening?
We went to, we got her, we were a little early, so we got her drink down. This was in Stanford. This is what we were going to purchase. And she was just like, oh, you know, the bartender made me this drink. He asked me like what I like, and he just made me a drink. It was incredible. And like, I got a second one. My mom does not drink.
Famous last words.
So like, she just was lit, and like every fucking joke in that movie hit for her. And like, when nobody else in the theater was laughing, you could just hear her cackling in the middle of it.
My God, that's incredible. Awesome. That's awesome.
You know, my father took me to Home Alone when I was a kid, and then he took me later, years later, to Saving Private Ryan, and those were the two movies he saw in the theater, I think.
Oh, my God.
He was not into going to the
movie. Hysterical laughing through both.
Yes, exactly. I think literally the only time it was just me and my father seeing a movie was the film The Majestic with Jim Carrey and Martin Landau.
Oh,
and
man.
That was it.
Did he really want to see it?
It was like, you know, we were working there and I was like, I don't know. You want to go to the movies? Yeah, right. I honestly have no idea how the plans came about because it was a very rare occurrence that my father goes to the movies.
I was going to say.
He's a fucking Turner Classic Movie fiend at the house, but nothing to do with going to the theater.
It's so funny. So many people will still just go to the movies as an activity without like a preference as to like, you know what I mean? Like I know what is coming out. Like I'm like, oh shit, is that, I want to see that next week. Like I'm always just down to go to the movies, but there are just some people who are like, Friday night, you want to go to the movies? It's like, yeah, let's look up what's playing and just go see whatever's there Friday. It's like, well, I don't, cause my mom will do that. My mom just goes to movies. She's like retired now, you know, mostly retired now. So she's like, Jonathan, I saw what she's, what was the Jim Caviezel, like, Save the Children movie she fucking saw?
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom. She's like, and Jonathan, at the end of the movie, they put up a card, and it said that this is actually going on everywhere. And I was like, yeah, you could just do that in any movie, you know?
Fargo. Steve has a Fargo t-shirt
famously
on.
Starts, yeah, yes. Exactly.
Or, yeah, just at the end of Alien, like, oh, this is really happening. Oh, shit. R.I.P. the Nostromo. I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
Scan this barcode to help out and buy a ticket.
Is your mom now like checking her doorknobs for like zip ties and stuff or not so
now,
much?
No, something has got my mom. One of her friends has got my mom like on a Fox News. Last time I was home, she was like, and what about, well, Jonathan, how do you feel about these migrants? And I was like, which migrants are you referring to?
Yeah.
She's like, well, the ones that are getting all the help from the government when we have people living on the streets who aren't getting any help. I'm like, Okay, it's the first I've ever heard you care about a homeless person.
Yeah, exactly. It's start Fox there. News. Fox News doesn't want to help them.
Yeah, it's the same shit from all those old people are like, what about our veterans? I'm like, first time I've ever heard you mention the veterans. And it's only in reference to like a Somali guy got a free meal from like
exactly.
the government, like for fuck's
You could
sake.
Donate to a veterans charity all you'd like. Right, you could, donate time. You could like, help, whatever.
I said to my mom, I'm like, you can help the homeless people while the government helps the migrants if you want. And she was like,
come on, you know who loves helping the veterans? Clint Eastwood. You love him. Yeah, you love him so much.
That's true.
Jesus would help the homeless people, probably not so much the soldiers. So just choose wisely.
I have an issue there.
You mentioned Avatar earlier. Now, that's just... And I think the last time you guys were on, we talked stoner movies too.
Yeah.
Real dovetail there of like, when I saw the first Avatar in 3D with the fuck, I was blown the fuck away. I had like 8 minutes of like nausea adaptation to it or whatever. Yeah. And then after that, I was just so fucking locked in. I'd never been more like this week, by the way, the week we're recording this is March 5th. I went to Vegas this weekend, but I also saw Tenet and Dune in IMAX.
Oh, like, good for you.
And I watched Dune 1 the night before Dune 2 at home.
Oh,
so I watched like 8 hours of movie. And then, of course, for podcasts, I have to watch 2 other movies. Yeah, so I fucking quickly watched fucking Zardoz. Like,
hell yeah.
I love Zardoz.
I went to Vegas too, and I did say that the thing that would get me in the most trouble with my wife is if I saw Dune 2 without her. Like, I could do whatever. Anything else in Las Vegas is fine.
I went to rub and tug when my friends went to go see Dune 2 so that I wouldn't get in a fight with my wife.
Exactly. I was a hero.
I took one for the team. My masseuse took one for the team.
It's good a man. Binary choice. What do you want me to do?
I'm telling you, if you wanted to really get some money from this Dune 2, you got to put it in the... Get you two out of the big dome and get them. Get fucking Dune 2 in the big dome in the middle of Vegas, seeing it all. And like, if you're doing the 3-panel horseshit and you're trying to make that a normal thing, yeah, like, at least try a big thing. I don't
honestly
know.
Put Dark Knight in there, and I think everyone like in their mother would go see it.
I feel like you'd have to cap it at a certain angle, though, because I will say another thing about that Madam Web ScreenX debacle that I was at. I thought I was going to vomit for like the first 20 minutes of that movie because I had no idea what to expect. And you're just kind of like, whoa, why is this a thing?
Well, yeah, it's extreme viewing. You weren't up for it. This is, you know, a new level.
I really was not.
I didn't go to any specialty screening, but I also was fighting back vomit during my vomit.
For you. I had a very nice gummy bear before I saw Dune 2. A nice
is that an adult gummy bear?
Yes, a very adult gummy bear, an acid, not the THC, the other one. And that, I gotta tell you, I wasn't looking at my phone, I wasn't talking to nobody, I was locked in. So you know what? Illegal drug screenings. Yep. I'm saying, just do it now.
Mandatory drug induced screenings.
I missed it.
My dream is to open up a cannabis friendly theater. Find extreme fucking quiet, powerful air filtration systems, theme the fucking movies, theme the strains, theme, and everyone can kind of just spark up in the fucking theater. And it would be like, I can't imagine how many people who don't smoke would want to go to one of these. That's the only problem. But I feel like the pothead and movie head fucking Venn diagrams need to be smashed together
in a
financial way
but
ASAP.
You got to be safe with it, though, because when last time we were in Portland, Oregon, and I had time before my flight, or this was the time before the last time, but whatever, Alien Covenant was playing at the Living Room Theater, and I'm like, well, I bought all these edibles in Portland before our flight. I better just eat them all and go see Alien Covenant. And just oh my God, this alien is right in my face. And then right after the screening, some old woman's trying to talk to me about it and the franchise. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now.
I can't contribute to this. I But I think that you're, I mean, like, that does seem not far away, because the only things in America that make money anymore are alcohol, weed, and gambling. There will be a theater you can gamble in, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, gamble on, like, how the movie's going to end?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, once FanDuel figures that shit out, dude, you get a five-part parlay. But I guess
yes.
You wouldn't do it on movies that are based on books. That's out, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But my
everyone
changing,
has a brother who's a grip, and it's like, my brother worked on Avatar 3, and he's got,
oh my God.
He's got the answers.
They'll prosecute you for that.
Sir, we caught you. You were counting plot points. We saw you.
Yeah, they're gonna break
walk
your
you out
eating
through
arm.
All these light up things, and the sound goes out, and you're like, "Whoa, what the fuck?"
The over under on this month's trailer reel is 25 minutes.
I like that. Yeah, I can get into trailers.
Oh, I would love. I would love you buy a ticket, take the ride, like a classic, like. Everyone that no one get fucked up before this screening, because we're gonna put on the last waltz in this venue, and everyone's gonna eat the exact same amount of hash or like whatever, you know.
Ooh,
like,
yes,
we
I
all
like that.
Get everyone on the same fucking wave. It's like, all right, we're putting on Beyond the Black Rainbow. Everyone takes the exact same amount of mushrooms, and let's go.
Well, see, you want the movie to have like the maximum experience, right? So everybody does it, but at the start, when everybody's doing it, you just put like an episode of Seinfeld on. Like, give it like 22 minutes. Let everybody like digest what's going on, you know, and then get into Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Let's open up a joint theater where it comes on. It's like, eat your acid now, and then we like to play some music. It's like, all right, should be kicking in. You know, like movie starts playing.
Maybe some seatbelts for that screening.
Let's all lick the stamp sheet. Let's all lick the stamp sheet.
No, wait, I think also you have a separate theater for all the people who want to be, because I don't want them mixing. I think you need one theater for the people who want to be like Neil Young in The Last Waltz, you know?
Yes.
They need their own theater, you know? Yeah, it's not going to, the mood is going to be different, you know?
I wonder if the Coke Theater is the one where we'd let people talk and go on their phones.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just throw in like 5 switchblades too, just to see what happens, you know?
Just so fucking derivative already. I only have times I see a fucking car go to a fucking goddamn explosion. It's so derivative already.
Oh, come on. The Scarface cocaine screenings are going to sell out every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, every damn time.
Yep.
You do a little toot every time he does, dude. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Corpses? Fantastic.
And then loudly talking, like, I would have let that kid blow up or whatever. That car bomb. I would have done it.
Someone passes you, like, someone passes you a straw. Yeah, like you write a little note, like, he won't pass the straw back. You, like, rat people out for not doing yak the right way with you.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I don't know where my straw is. He took it. I'm sorry. I don't like doing this, but yeah.
Excuse me. You're breaking up the lines with your credit card a little too loud, all right? It's Zone of Interest. It's very quiet. Come on.
Zone of Interest. My wife and I saw it at 11 a.m., and she got Twizzlers before, and I was like, do you know what the, like, and like, we sat down, and like, she like had them out, was eating them, and then the movie started, and then she kind of would, like, as the movie went on, it was kind of like,
like, maybe these are for the back ride in my home purse.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to be seen eating Twizzlers during this.
Hey, speaking of The Last Waltz, that's the ultimate party movie for me. Stop Making Sense, which I've seen multiple times in theaters. They did that IMAX reissue, and we went to Lincoln Square.
I'm so mad I missed it.
Whew, that was fucking wild. That was a dance party, man. We were in the IMAX at the Lincoln Square. In the back row, there's like just a huge walkway between like the last chair and the wall. It's like a lot of space. People were just dancing back there. It was fucking great. Like that, they're doing
that's
like
awesome.
This endless tour with that movie now. So like,
I wanted to see it when it came through the Chinese here, but I missed it. I saw it similarly. I saw RRR in at the Chinese, and
nice.
The huge dance number erupts when the boys start dancing at the party.
Oh,
and that was
awesome.
A fucking radical not to or whatever the name of the song is.
Yeah.
People were going fucking ape shit. It was the most amount of South Asian people I've ever seen in one place in Los Angeles as well. So it was like a fucking, I felt like I was like visiting another culture for an afternoon. It was awesome.
That's amazing. That's
3 out. Going to see movies with movie heads is such a dream. Like, I went to Chinese to see the reissue of Tenet. And this is fucking Tenet, a movie that's been out, has had like 4 different releases. it's not that big. It's not like everyone's people care about the movie, but it's not. And yeah. Just being in the theater, people, I was like fucking pumping my fist. Like I had such a, yes. I had such an amazing time. And on my third, it's my third viewing of Tenet, first time in a theater. And I had such an amazing fucking time. And clearly the theater element of it and everyone being there for this, like, was such a, because it wasn't just like opening weekend. There's some people, like, this is people who sought out seeing it again in IMAX. It was such a fucking rich experience. I was so, I went with my buddy Weiger, and I was so angry at the idea of people who hate Tenet after the movie. And I was like so worked up. I'm like, how could you hate this movie? If at minimum, if you watch this movie, I've seen it three times. I love it. I do not even understand how the time works in it. And I'm starting to realize, if someone's like, I don't get Tenet, I'm like, it is eight heists in a row. Like, at minimum, if you don't pick up on anything that's happening in the movie, any of the subtext of Pattinson and Washington's friendship, if you miss all of that, you're just seeing eight bananas heists in a row. And that's what Chris Nolan does well. It's like, if you don't get all the other shit that's going on in the movie, how cool do these guys look with guns? It's like, just dig in and enjoy that for fun.
It's a vibes movie. It's a great vibes movie. And you have to pay attention to that. When you're trying to, I can't even begin to care when somebody's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, what the fuck? People were walking backwards in different fucking. Why do you care if it makes sense?
Yeah, you know what else? I'm sorry. I care, everybody.
But you know what else doesn't make sense?
Crucify me if you need to. I hate that movie. I'll survive.
You know what else doesn't make sense, though? An Ant-Man. That doesn't make sense neither.
None of it makes sense. None of it.
Yeah, if you do get Passion of the Christ, though, just let me know so I can get some chicken tenders beforehand when I'm watching it go down.
I totally understand. Wanting to understand a movie. Like, I can wrap my head for people. Like, I would just say, like, not every movie needs to be understood.
Sure.
Yeah, to be enjoyed. Yeah. But I'm not going to. I'm doing a whole episode about arguing about movies this month as well.
Oh, nice.
Too,
because,
oh, boy.
Because I've gotten to the point where I will not defend my point of view anymore.
I'm kind of the same way. I don't see the point of. I mean, like, I don't like that movie, and that's kind of the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's just sort of,
I'm gonna just not like that movie, and then maybe one day.
Because then, like, you know, we have to then train ourselves. Like, you know, I don't care that you don't like it, Steve. You know, that's not the other part of it. With, like, especially with, like, people fighting on, like, social media about stuff. It's like, why did you fucking like Jenny?
Or not even. I don't care. I don't care. It's a little too dismissive. I respect that you don't like it, but it doesn't affect what I like.
Your opinion of the movie doesn't affect me at all. And my opinion of the movie shouldn't affect you at all.
Precisely.
You say, I don't like this. I go, well, here are the things I liked about it. You're like, yeah, well, those didn't hit for me. And I'm not, it's not my job to convert people to being fans of movies, of specific movies. In movies in general, I do feel partially like my job is to bring people under the umbrella of how cool it is to just sit around and watch movies.
Absolutely.
Speaking of sitting around watching movies, this is something you guys do an inordinate amount of time with. You guys have fucking millions of hours of content about movies and shit. So talk to my listeners if for some reason they're not familiar or need to know where to get more of this movie hate and movie love and the glossaries and whatever else fucking weird ass spin-offs you guys are up to these days.
the good gateway is right through the main show, We Hate Movies. You know, we say it's a comedy show where we take a movie, good, bad, or otherwise, and just kick it around, you know, for a couple hours, 90 minutes, depending. Those are, you know, anywhere you get podcasts, you can check that out, whmpodcast.com. But then, the huge metric ton of other stuff we do is on Patreon, patreon.com/ We Hate Movies. We do like a We Love Movies episode every month where that's like the inverse of the normal show. We do a well-respected movie of sorts. Eric, what is the Star Wars program?
Okay, Gleep Glorp.
The Gleep Glossary is Gleep our glossary, star. Glossary. Yes, it's a Star Wars shine show we do where I read from the old EU like glossaries of character breakdowns, and we kind of riff on them. The guys get a good laugh at the old EU, and sometimes I'm a little precious with it, but it's a lot of fun, you know. It's a lot of fun to go through it.
And actually, this just this month, we're starting another offering on there, part of the highest level, which is Too Old for This Shit, which is a recap of the new X-Men 97 that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
Yes. We'll be recapping that. We got a ton of stuff going on. We're also going on tour. We'll be in Atlanta in April and Houston and Austin in May. So come on out.
Dudes, catch them down. WeHateMovies.com, Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. WHM podcast on all socials.
All the socials and whatnot. Yes. We do every Monday. We're live streaming on YouTube and Twitch at noon Eastern, a show called On Screen Live. That's like up to the minute, like box office analysis. We're looking at trailers, making fun of stuff there, reviewing movies, in good faith. Like we reviewed Dune 2, but then we were also laughing at the trailer for that new Kevin Spacey Hitman movie that's coming out. So, it's an even amount of like industry chatter, movie chatter, but also still, goofing on stuff.
And you guys are still doing the Bring Back Kevin Spacey campaign that you guys have been doing.
Yeah, yes, famous. Dude, the streets. Ever since that bastard Christopher Plummer or whoever, what he did to our Frankie.
Your
Underwood.
Way into being to defending Kevin Spacey is mostly through Christopher Plummer hate because all the money in the world.
That's 300. That's it. 320,000 followers strong, John. We love this.
Get on board now.
I found his Tucker interview is disrespectful, but I can't stomach that goddamn Christopher Plummer.
Awesome. Well, dudes, thank you so much for being part of Movie March May month. May also be happening as well. April, we're going to take some time off from movies and talk about the other stuff. But appreciate you guys being part of it. I always enjoy talking to you fucking guys. Always fun to run into someone who's like, I'm going to the movie theaters 5 days a week and watching shit at home on my own free time as well.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
coming home
dude.
From a movie at night when it's not super late and putting on another movie that this movie made you want to watch is like an absolute or complete counter programming where you're like, we came home from Dune 2 and watched the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney rom-com. Because I want to not be thinking about messiahs and holy wars for a few minutes.
Hell yeah, dude, that is LIVIN, man. Absolutely. The movie the dream. At home after you went to the movies.
It's the dream. Talk about what it's going to be on the ride home. As for me, I have a Patreon as well. You guys know about it, actionboys.biz. We got some free episodes at free.actionboys.biz. And 101 Places to Party Before You Die, somehow still on Max. Watch it before they find it.
Great job.
Don't worry, John. That one's not going to be a tax write-offable, so it's just going to sit
exactly.
on there.
There's not a lot of money to be made there. Bye, shitheads!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold. Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
There's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!